Well, hello there, and welcome to the County Conversation, a podcast featuring employees and subject matter experts in the Fairfax County government discussing programs, services, and items of interest to residents of Fairfax County. I'm your host, Jim Person, and today on this edition of The Conversation, I'm chatting with Katie Torgerson. She is Sustainability Program Manager in the Solid Waste Management Program in DPWS. That's the Department of Public Works and Environmental Services. And she's here to tell us more about DPWES Residential Recycling and Disposal Services for residents, including the two topics we're going to talk about today, the two programs, textile recycling and e-waste programs. So, Katie, first of all, thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Looking forward to this conversation, which I must admit I'm not too familiar with either of the subjects. So before we dive deep into it, first of all, tell me a little bit about the DPWS Residential Recycling and Disposal Services for residents, just kind of a high-level overview of what it is you guys do.
We have two solid waste facilities in the county that residents can bring a lot of their recycling and other items that they are trying to dispose of, too. And many of the services that we offer are free. The one facility is the I-66 transfer station in Fairfax, and it is open almost every day of the week. And then the I-95 landfill complex in Lorton has more limited hours, but is still open to residents, and people can find more information on the location and the hours on the county's website by just looking for those facilities.
Yeah. We'll give the website and some resources a little bit later on. So let's dive in and talk specifics now because we have a limited amount of time. I want to make sure that we have two programs to talk about. So I guess to start with, why should people listening right now care about textile recycling or e-waste?
Well, in Fairfax County, all of our trash is taken to a waste energy plant where it's burnt and ultimately landfilled, the ashes landfilled at the I-95 landfill complex. Eventually, we're going to run out of space. And, you know, apart from the environmental impacts of disposing of all of our waste, we're also going to hit a point where there's going to be some economic impacts and community impacts as well. As if we run out of space, we'll have to truck that trash somewhere else. So our goal as a program is to help find ways for residents to divert their waste and try to kind of minimize the amount of waste that we ultimately bring to our Asheville site. Textiles are one of those things where, you know, in the past, people used to wear clothes, upwards of 14 times before getting rid of them. And with fast fashion trends and other kind of things and lifestyle changes, people are wearing clothes less and less. And that creates a waste that we're trying to address. And same with e-waste, you know, we're trying to find ways to help people save our resources and protect the environment, but also, you know, get economic value from it too.
14 times? Are you, I mean, really? Seriously? I have shirts that I've worn probably 140 times.
Right, I know. And I think it's just, you know, the trends of the time, I guess, people. It's kind of mind-boggling, right?
Yeah,
things can be thrown away.
So when we're talking about textile recycling, is it just a matter of when you're on your getting ready for your 15th wear and you're like, oh, I'm tired of this? Is it maybe you just take it to a thrift store, or is there something else when we say textile recycling that we're talking about?
So our goal, is to get more wear out of those clothes. So, you know, with New Year's, a lot of people are decluttering their closets, or you might be getting ready for some spring cleaning. So we encourage you, if you find clothes or textiles, linens, luggage, even anything that's got textiles on it, to first, you know, look within your community. The county actually has a really great resource called Human Services Resource Guide, and it lists all these nonprofits that accept clothing donations. So that's a great way to, you know, make a good impact in the community and also keep clothes out of the trash. But sometimes we have things that are worn or torn or is stained, and you don't necessarily want to give those or donate those. So that's where this textile recycling program comes in. We've partnered with HelpSee, which is, it's a for-profit company, but with a kind of a mission-based focus. And they accept clothes that are, or they accept textiles that are clean and dry, but they can be stained, they can be torn, and they find another life for them.
Okay. I was going to ask about if it's stained or torn, so they can take them just as long as they're not wet.
Exactly. Yes. As long as, you know, they won't.
Can be dry or dirty.
Right. Yes, exactly.
Okay. So can I just put these stained, torn clothes, textiles in my curbside recycling, or is there a process that I need to follow?
You can take them to one of our two facilities, the I-66 transfer station, the I-95 landfill complex. Both have these bins that are in the residential recycling loops. They're big blue bins, hard to miss. They just need to be bagged, and you can and put them in there. And we're looking at trying to expand the program too to other county facilities. Hopefully by spring of 2026, we'll have some additional sites for people to drop things off at.
Okay. Are there any restrictions for textiles that can be taken? Does it have to be 100% cotton? Can it be polyester? I'm talking about that.
It can be any type of material. They'll take comforters, even curtains and things. So what HelpSee does is they bale our materials into these big kind of bulk blocks that they sell to their partners. And most of these partners, and over 95%, are based in the U.S. and they sort in the U.S. So they sort for basically saleable material and sell these to secondhand or thrift stores. And I think that's like 45 to 60% of the materials that they get can be resold for clothing. And then the remainder, they sort by material composition, and some of that is used and recycled as rags, or and some is like insulation, so they shred it for use for stuffing. Sure. And only a small percentage, I think less than 5%, goes to the landfill, and that's because it was wet or moldy or something like that.
Okay. Which is the goal.
Right, exactly.
So I'll ask this question just because I have a new pair of jeans on today. Don't tell anybody I wear jeans to work. Do jeans get recycled into make new jeans? Or, I mean, am I overthinking that? I mean, does a cotton t-shirt get recycled into another cotton t-shirt? Or does it just go into this big batch of recycled material? Or do you think?
Well, my understanding is that it's challenging with the blended materials that we have now to actually recycle them into new clothing. But that is something that we liked about HelpSee and chose them for this pilot, because that's something they look into, is they are researching ways that they can partner with clothing designers and retailers to find ways to actually reuse clothing and recycle it into new clothing.
You mentioned pilot program. When did it start, and how long is it going to continue on?
It started last February, so we are at a year now. And we've recycled, residents have recycled almost 78 tons of clothing in that year. The intent is to continue it probably through 2026, and continue to gather data and see how these bins work at these expanded facility sites. And then ultimately, I think long-term, work with procurement to find a permanent program. It's been very successful.
Yeah. Sounds like it. So you would like for it to continue if there's a way?
Yes. I think it's been a great way, and residents have responded really well with a lot of great questions. And so I think it's nice. Right now, we've got it as like a one-stop shop at our two facilities to help people keep things out of the trash. But we are trying to make it more convenient for them, too.
Yeah, that would be a big plus. maybe a dumb off-the-wall question, but can clothes or shirts, textiles, can they be compostable? I don't know if that's the right how to say it.
Compostable?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Just because, you know, they're blended materials. In general, we really focus on the paper products. Yeah.
Okay. We are on the County Conversation podcast, and we're talking with Katie Torgerson. She is Sustainability Program Manager in the Solid Waste Program with DPWES. We have been talking about the Textile Recycling Program, one of two programs on our conversation today. And we're going to transition over to e-waste, but I want to give you the opportunity. You mentioned the I-66 and the I-95 facilities. Where can folks go to learn more about them, the website, et cetera, and the programs we're talking about today?
If people go to fairfaxcounty.gov and search for 66 transfer station or 95 landfill complex, you will get the webpage is dedicated to those two sites with the locations, hours, and a list of the items that they take. We have a lot of great services for residents, and it's kind of nice that it's a one-stop shop if you're trying to get rid of a bunch of things that can't be placed curbside.
Awesome. All right. Let's transition over to e-waste. What does that mean, e-waste?
So it's the shortened version of electronic waste electronics recycling.
Okay.
And that's another thing, as we move more digitally based, we tend to have a lot of electronics lying around. And the thing about electronics is they are a great resource for some of these materials that take a lot of energy to mine and manufacture. And so when you recycle them, you're helping to conserve natural resources. But it's good economically too. Some things are really hard to, especially these, special precious metals and things that we hear about now are really hard to mine and get out of ground. So it's really great to have a way to recycle them. So at our facilities, you can bring residents can bring e-waste too. That includes computers, computer accessories, cables and wires, and TVs. You name it. We generally accept them. And then we sort them, and our vendor comes and picks them up, and they are stripped down and recycled.
Yeah, I'm familiar with like telephones, TVs, that kind of thing. Are there other technology e-waste products like my electric toothbrush or power cords or even light up sneakers? I mean, is that considered e-waste? And can you accept that as well or not?
Nowadays it is hard to tell what they serve, electronics. So in general, think of we take cables and cords, and wires, and anything that has like there's so many rechargeable items now. Anything that has a battery, it's also very important to keep those out of the trash because they are a fire hazard, we've had trucks that have burned down, and facilities that have caught fire from, a battery in your electronic toothbrush. So you can remove those batteries, and we accept those as well for recycling. And then household appliances is another common one that people ask about. Those, generally, if they're plastic, like a coffee maker breaks down, you can cut the cord, recycle it at the e-waste. And then the coffee maker itself can just go into the trash. If it's largely metal, we can take it into our scrap metal pile.
Oh. Are there certain things I should consider? Do I have to wipe the computer or telephone or anything before I turn it in? Talk to me a little bit about that.
Sure. You should definitely, erase any of the material in your computer or phone, and remove the battery if you can. Bring it to us, we'll recycle it. And then, as I mentioned, our vendor does break them down, but just extra precaution to make sure.
Yeah. What if my phone is broken or I can't get into it? How do I wipe it? And then if I can't wipe it, what do I do with it then? It's just like a heavy paperweight.
Yes, yes. And I think we work with a professional vendor who does this, and they have they're very, you know, they've secure practices. So I can just tell you from our perspective, we take them, they're kept into, you know, a secure facility until they're passed off to our vendor. So I think you do the best that you can without having to go to extreme measures, and then you can help.
Maybe even take it to a big box store or electronics store or something.
Some of those will accept them as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And they have ways to wipe them in.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Cool. You may not know this, but how do you know if a device like the phone is truly dead? I mean, and needs to be recycled. I mean, I've got old phones that are, you know, air quote here, dead, just because the phone charger has been changed and I can't charge it. So how do I know, and what do I do with that old phone?
Well, and that's a good question. I do think, you know, if you could go to a big box or you know, the retailer that got it from, to have them double check. We do encourage people in the library, our library system actually holds these repair clinics. Now, they can help you repair really complex electronics, but you should try to, you know, obviously reuse or even get it upgraded. And there are places that can help you, basically upgrade or rebuild your computer. One of the challenges we've seen is people dropping things off at e-waste, not because they don't work anymore, but because they don't get any more upgrades, right? They can't, you know, they have old phones that just won't upgrade anymore, and so they have to get rid of them. So these are things that are outside of our control, but we do, you know, track policies and regulations around producer responsibility and making sure things can be reused or recycled properly.
Right. I'm sure we could find a use for an old phone that doesn't have updates or something. I mean, seems like it might be good to kids' first phone or something. I don't know. I'm just trying to.
I know. I think of my iPod or those things in the past. They're like vintage now. It's kind of cool.
So on eBay. What I'm going to call the lightning round. A few questions here before we get to the end and let you have your final word. Is there a best place in the house to keep a to-be recycled pile so that it just doesn't look like clutter and get thrown away accidentally?
Well, what I do is have a box in the garage of the things that I know, you know, one day I will take to the 66 transfer station. If it's batteries, it's, you know, there are some proper ways to store batteries, and it's best to like tape them so that they don't, if you're storing them together, they don't spark in some way. But I think that's the best way to do, you know, if you're heading to the mall or, you know, for some reason you're in Fair Lake shopping, just you can run into the transfer station and drop everything off all in one go.
Cool. Are there apps or websites that can tell me about maybe recycling or other recycling things other than the I-66 and I-95 that you're aware of?
There are, I can't remember the name of it right now, but I'm sure if you search for it, some sites that'll help guide you to places for hard to recycle things. We're very lucky in this county that we have these services that are available almost on a daily basis. Because in other municipalities, you have to wait, you know, for quarterly or monthly to make these drop offs. Right, right, exactly. So, we are trying really hard to make it convenient and easy for people to get rid of these things properly.
Yeah. If someone listening right now does one thing after finishing this episode, should they clean out their junk drawer or their closet first? Which would you say is best? Textile recycling or e-waste recycling? And I know that's a difficult question for you because you probably love both of them. But where should someone start right now?
I think from a safety perspective, you should start with e-waste. You know, so many things have rechargeable batteries in them. And if you leave them go for a long time, sometimes they can become hazardous. So I think it's good to make sure that you're properly disposing of those. You just from a safety perspective, too.
Yeah. What have I not asked you that you wish I did, or something you want to make sure our listeners take away from the conversation before we wrap up?
I will say we are always open in Solid Waste Management Program to new ideas and new services that we can provide. For example, someone asked about like medical equipment, more like mobility devices, and you know, was there where place to recycle those? And so that's something that we'll look into to try to help. So if people have ideas or come across really interesting programs, we are always looking for new programs that we can help support.
Yeah.
And they can just reach out to us, trashmail@fairfaxcounty.gov is our email address.
Yes, that's your address, trashmail@fairfaxcounty.gov. You can also just go to fairfaxcounty.gov and search recycling, e-waste, textile recycling, and come up with all the resources, et cetera. Katie, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Enjoyed it.
No, thank you.
Looking forward to having you and having this conversation, and I feel much smarter now that we did. To hear more conversations with Fairfax County's finest, be sure to follow us on soundcloud.com/fairfaxcounty, as well as our podcast webpage, fairfaxcounty.gov/podcast. The County Conversation is produced by the Fairfax County, Virginia government.